Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
I do seem to have an affection for pigs. Probably. Maybe not. Most likely. Ask the groundhog. Whatever.
And now, today's episode.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the one in the middle. And thank you for stopping by. Huh? It was a mistake? Oh, God. I'll make it worth your while. Halfway through the show, I'm going to pass out finger sandwiches with my own personal finger pointed at you. That was nasty. I apologize for that. We're supposed to be getting along, so that was not right. I know when I've done something wrong. I just don't tell anybody. Like this morning, I was so tired, I put my left shoe on my right foot and my right shoe on my left foot, and it kind of didn't matter because all the shoes were being used. It's just I couldn't stand up real straight. But is that your problem? No. Yeah, I can tell I'm getting bored. In the morning, I just brush some of my teeth, and the next day, I brush the rest of them. That way it spreads it out more, something to do. Do you ever try to put your pants on over your head? I found it was impossible. Did you know that? It's amazing the things you learn. I don't think I have any matched socks left. I don't think any of my socks actually match. I think they're from different families. But I try to get them together so that they can spawn pairs of socks. But it doesn't work. Most of my socks have that, like, really tight elastic that choke my ankles. And when I take my socks off at night, there's, like, a line around my ankle, like a tree root, you know? It's just, I have problem with socks. I do. No matter what I do, they never stay matched. At one point, I even numbered them. Like, I put one on the left sock and one on the right sock. And then I did that with the next pair, two, and then two, and I figured that way I can't go wrong. But I did. I was wearing sock number one and sock number 72. Didn't work out. Did you actually come here for sock jokes? Did you really? Things are worse for you than I thought. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Just to acquaint you with myself, I'm a very handsome, lovable man. And later on, I'll reveal the real truth, which is probably obvious immediately. I've been doing this for 30 years. Doing what? I don't know, to be honest. I can't answer that. It's rhetorical. I've been doing radio broadcasting for 30 years with some television thrown in for good measure. And when I look back on my life, my only reaction is, wow, what a waste of time you had. So now I'm trying to really fill my time well since it's been forced upon me. So when I do my laundry, for example, I don't just put my laundry in the washing machine. I actually get a chair, I sit there and I watch it tumble. And you know what? It's very cathartic. Watching clothes go in a circle, and then the soap suds come in, it's like a symphony. Okay, are you going to tumble around? Or get ready, soap suds, get ready. suds. Cue the soap suds. And they come in, and then it gets all like clean looking. It's a fascinating show. It really is. Try it sometime. Do your laundry, put it in the washing machine, sit there with a chair, get something to eat. Actually, if you have alcohol, not rubbing, drinking, that makes the show that goes on in the washing machine window that much more interesting. Mm-hmm. And then what you do is, now my dryer doesn't have a clear window, so I don't know what the hell's going on in there. But when I go to the laundromats, they have a clear window and you can actually watch your clothes get tumbled around and getting dry and they stick to each other. They actually cling. And they're not supposed to do that. They're supposed to stay 6 feet apart. Anyway, doing the laundry, man, you don't appreciate what's really going on. And when it's all finished, your clothes smell good. They come out nice and clean. You wear them and it's time to wash them again because you are so filthy. We are filthy people. Oh, my God. You wear something for one day and your armpits will totally destroy that upper garment. Oh, my God. I don't know what... Wow. We are filthy people. We have our private parts all over our undergarments. Oh, my God. Can you imagine being a pair of underpants or panties or something? Oh, my God. Just hanging around that area all day? Yeah, you may think it's sexually exciting. It's really stinky down there. Okay. What the hell am I doing? What the hell am I doing? It's time to reassess. So let's turn this show into an informational program. If you look at the upper right-hand part of your computer screen or your iPhone, whatever you're listening to this thing on, you will see the letter E in capital letter, E, and then a slash and an I. That's because this show is both entertainment and information.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again. For Ron's Fact of the Day.
And that makes it educational. Just the introduction. It's true. It's very, very true. All right, here's your fact of the day, and this is going to appall you. Even if your name isn't Paul, it's going to really inform you greatly. Here we go. Are you ready? Okay. Uh-huh. In other countries, they don't use pounds in order to regulate weight. They use kilograms. Seriously? Yes. I know. I didn't know that either until I looked it up on the Wikipedia machine. I have a great guest coming up toward the end of the program. The guest actually wanted to be toward the end of the program so it wouldn't mix in with this crap in the beginning. He is a sports expert. And he's written a book about Babe Ruth, because today, Monday, April, whatever the hell it is, I think it's April 26th today, am I right? Am I wrong? No, it's the 27th. Is it? Okay. It's April 27th. Boy, I don't know what day it is. It's Monday, April 27th. Today is Babe Ruth Day. Mm-hmm. All right, millennials, gather around. I've got a double explanation for you on this one. Babe Ruth was two things. One, an amazing baseball player. There were other baseball players that were equally amazing or perhaps a tad better, but they didn't have the name Babe Ruth. What an incredible name for a person. He looked like a babe. He was large and a little chubby, which is what most baseball players ended up being anyway. But he was an amazing person. The most popular team during the last century was probably the New York Yankees. And Babe Ruth played with them, I believe, for a long time. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm not into sports. But Babe Ruth Day is a big deal if you are. Probably. The other thing, millennials, of which you have no concept whatsoever, besides life itself, would be the fact that Babe Ruth was a candy bar. What? Seriously, do you mean that a fat baseball player was also a candy bar? Yes. Was the baseball player, Ron, was a baseball player named after the candy bar, or was the candy bar named after the baseball player? Well, I don't know. And here's the great thing, millennials, you're better at looking up information than I am. When I want to figure out a problem, I have to put my shoes on and my socks, which don't match. I have to walk or drive to a library, which is no longer open, and I have to look it up through a card catalog that makes no sense. It takes me 3 weeks to figure it out. You, on the other hand, can go to the Google machine, which you have implanted in every part of your body, desktop, laptop, arm top, leg top, phone, pants, watch. You got the freaking computers all over the in your car. I mean, what the hell did you do? You saturated this world with your stupid computers. So you can look it up really, really quick. Which came first, the Babe Ruth candy bar or the Babe Ruth person? I venture to say probably Jesus Christ was first. But he had nothing. There was no candy bar named after him, oddly enough. Shouldn't there have been? Of course there should have. It's in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 27. It's a catchy little tune. Babe Ruth, the candy bar, was a wonderful thing. It had chocolate and some kind of chewy caramel, and there might have been some nuts in there, I'm not too sure, which kind of, you can't make things with nuts anymore without asking the person, do you have a nut allergy? Yeah, my balls scratch all the time. I mean, is that what that means? Possibly. Try that next time you go into a restaurant when you are allowed to, which will be soon, by the way. When the wait staff comes over, the waiter, the waitress, whatever you call them, the servants, the serfs of the kingdom, when they come over and you order something and they say to you, do you have a nut allergy? Just say to them, yeah, my balls itch all the time, and see what the reaction is. Will they laugh? Only embarrassingly. Give it a shot. I'm just trying to spice it up. I was watching a television show yesterday, Lydia's Kitchen. Yeah, it's a television show on public broadcasting there, and Lydia is a large size Italian woman, which makes her feasible. They have skinny. They on the Food Network. They have Gina De Laurentiis, which came first, Oscar or Gina, or and she's very, very skinny, and I don't buy it. And she's Italian. She does Italian food on the show, and I don't buy it because she's too skinny. The only Italians that I really believe food-wise are the ones that look like they consume everything in sight. That's the kind of Italian mama I'm looking for, the kind that's on the label of a spaghetti sauce jar. So this Lydia is that. But here's the deal with that. I really have a problem with people that speak English who all of a sudden break into their native tongue whenever they refer to something like a dish. It's annoying. Here's my impression. We're going to make a noodle casserole with mushrooms. The mushroom that I choose is the Fuchicola, yeah, that's the slot, the bullets there, mushroom, in the hills of La Patata de la Napa Valley. And it tastes very, very good. A little salty sometimes, a little bit of sodium. So you want to salt as you taste. You have it with a piece of bread, and then you throw on a nice Italian sausage like focaccia battalion, a little bit of flalom, or perhaps you have a it's just annoying. It's like all of a sudden you were taken over by some type of linguistic demon or something. Like your eyes roll back and you start speaking in this native tongue, this Latin that nobody understands. But the reason they do that, they do it on purpose in order to wake you up, I think is what it is, because you're literally falling asleep while these shows are on, But when they get when they break into their native Italian or something like that, all of a sudden their voice gets very proud and very stern. It's like, whoa, okay, all right. Why don't you just choose a language and go with it, okay? Because as soon as you start talking in this native devil tongue, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And all of a sudden, you lose me. I feel like I'm not a member of your club. I don't know what a focaccia balladoli is. So you've lost me. You don't explain what it is. You just say it like you're so damn proud of where you came from, even though you were born in New York Hospital on a Sunday evening. But I don't know. I don't know. I watch these shows anyway because there's nothing else to do. I've watched more television than anybody could possibly watch. My routine now is totally around television, and I'm watching the stupidest shows I've ever seen in my life. Well, don't get that stupid. I don't watch The Bachelor. How can you watch that crap? Oh, my God. I don't even know how to explain it, millennials. You probably watch it. I don't know. You have to be a little discerning in life, just a little bit. Even do it just to look like you're discerning, even though you're not. Just make believe. You know, if people don't know exactly what's going on, you can put a lot of stuff past them. I feel bad sometimes because sometimes I'll make a joke about something, which is obvious. To me, it's just obvious I'm making this up. And the other person will go, oh my God, really? No, not really. It's a joke. It's a setup for a punchline. What do you mean, really? Are you that gullible? Oh my God. How do you live? It's like when you talk about Trump or something. I mean, you know, I make fun of him all the time because he's so make funnable. I mean, he's just a walking douchebag, so it's just like he's a target, you know. You don't need to put a kick me sign on his back. He already kicks himself in the back. You say things like, Trump lies so much, he's got smoke coming out of his ass. And the other person will say, really? How does that, why would that be? Why would there be smoke? Is it like an evaporation of, is it a medical problem? No, it's a joke, you idiot. Oh, Ron, you kid me all the time. Oh, my God. You're not supposed to be around me, I don't think. You're not supposed to be here. You need to go somewhere else where there are other people who are as dense as you are. Good luck finding that. Although when you come upon it, you'll feel comfortable. You'll see. All right, my guest joins us now. And a hell of a guest it is. I don't know if you know this, but I'm not totally into sports at all, really. Sometimes I was, now I'm kind of not. And people say, Ron, do you miss watching sports? No, because I didn't do it before. And actually, I'm finding that the human race is becoming understandably accepting of this. That when there's a lot of crap going on, the sports thing is merely a diversion. I mean, you want a diversion, get a chair, sit in front of the washing machine. You know where I'm going with this? I think you do. I think you do.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's Preserve Piggy Parts.
Jim Buckley Jr. joins us. He's authored more than 100 books. That in itself is worth talking to you about. But $100, holy crap. Okay, but this particular book is very timely because it's Babe Ruth Day today. And why is it, first of all, thank you for being here, Jim.
Of course, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. And of those 100 books, a lot of them were for kids and pretty short, so it's not as impressive.
it's that impressive, yes it is. Are you a New Yorker, may I ask?
I lived in New York for a long time, but now I'm a Californian and live out here in Santa Barbara. And but certainly been to Yankee Stadium many times and saw Babe Ruth plaque there in Monument Park. And he's a great guy. He's a great hero to honor, and our book hopefully does that.
It's interesting because Babe Ruth, there have been many great legend baseball players. Babe Ruth somehow stands out to everybody. It might even be the name Babe, the way he looked so large and bigger than life. I don't know what it was, but what is it about Babe Ruth that is so monumental?
Well, you hit on a couple of things, but it really is all, it's a total package. Mm-hmm. He was a huge personality. He had a great name, and he had tons of great nicknames. Mm-hmm. New York newspapers competed to see who could come up with the wildest nickname for him. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite is the Wazir of Wham.
Wow.
he also came along at a time when baseball needed a hero. Mm-hmm. Baseball was suffering through the effects of a really down time in offense, coming off the war and the Spanish flu, that things were really, really down for the country in general, and everybody wanted to be cheered up, wanted a lively hero and somebody to come from nowhere. Mm-hmm. And although Babe was already a star pitcher with the Boston Red Sox, go Sox, that time, when he went to New York and started hitting homers, it changed the game. It changed the sport of baseball. It changed how baseball is perceived. It changed the idea that an athlete could be an international hero. And baseball's never been the same since, and in some senses, American celebrity culture has never been the same.
Mm.
So he put it all together. He had the entire package of somebody you want to remember.
Now, I know that you're very into sports. Not everybody is, but somehow this icon, Babe Ruth, transformed the sports world into kids' aspirations to be somebody.
Sure. Well, up to that point, to be a superstar professional athlete was not a widely seen aspiration for young people.
Right.
There really was not the level of intensity of superstar athletes at that time. Very few sports caught the wide public attention. Certainly the sporting public, as they said, paid attention. There was boxing. Horse racing was a pretty big deal. But it was still almost niche stuff. Babe went past that. Babe hit the front page. And he went right to the front page pretty early on, and he stayed there throughout the rest of his life. And that just exposed more and more people who would normally not have thought about it to think about sports as a part of American celebrity culture. And Babe was the first one really to do that. He was the breakout superstar, not only of sports, but of popular culture, of celebrity. Everything he did was covered intensely, and it was a forerunner of a lot of things we see today.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically made sports a thing in America.
When you got into Babe Ruth and looked at all the background, were there things about him that surprised you that most people don't really know about? Don't tell us too much because we want to get the book.
Absolutely. Well, I think the one thing that stood out for me, certainly, I've done a lot of writing about mm-hmm. sports and baseball before, but when you look at Babe Ruth's life, certainly the classic story is he grew up in an orphanage. Well, yes, he grew up in an orphanage. His parents were alive. His parents put him in the orphanage.
So
that's kind of a hard life to be essentially rejected by your family right from the get-go.
Wow.
But what I really liked seeing about Babe Ruth as I read more about his life was that did not turn him into a bitter person. It did not turn him into an angry person. It turned him into a positive person. He took a lot out of that relationship with the Christian brothers up there at St. Mary's. He carried forward with his life no matter what. And then when he was famous and when he was rich, he loved kids, and he never turned them down. He always met with them. He hung out with them. He went to hospitals. He visited with them. And his relationship with kids was a really super positive part of his life and theirs. And I think the reason was the experiences he had had at St. Mary's. So I really enjoyed reading a little bit more about that aspect of his life.
Yeah. Your book's different than other books of its kind. What makes it, what sets it apart?
It's a graphic nonfiction title. It's a graphic novel. So it's written and created like a comic book. Graphic novels, graphic nonfiction is the fastest growing part of publishing today. Over the last few years, it's just exploded in all areas. And it's gone from a medium of visual storytelling that was Marvel and DC and Thor and Hulk and Spider-Man into virtually anything. Any story now can and is being told in this visual storytelling medium of graphics, graphic novels, graphic nonfiction. People are doing memoirs. People are doing their own individual stories. It really is a great way for young people to get into topics they might otherwise not be too confident with by able to being able to read something visually like a comic book. And for adults, why not? It's fun. And we're telling a real true story, but we're doing it with colorful graphics, art created by Kelly Tindall in this case. Yeah. And it's just a great new way to tell a story.
You know, and it is. And a lot of kids are being homeschooled now, actually all of them, for the time being. And, you know, this is... I wish that learning was always like this. Not the kids were always schooled at home, but they were taught by example. Usually at home, you're taught by example by your parents, by your living situation. In school, you're sitting in a classroom. There's no real examples except for someone talking at you. This book kind of, it goes beyond the sports world, as we were discussing earlier. It builds character, and I wish education did that more.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a great story. The Babe overcame a lot. He wasn't a perfect person, and we make that clear. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the other things that's good about the way we've told this story is that not everybody's perfect, but everybody does their best and fights on through it to try and get to the other side. And so we bring up some of the things that Babe may not have been as proud of. Obviously, it's written for kind of younger people, so we don't get into too many details. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's clear that he wasn't perfect, but he did the best he could.
Yeah. I understand, just as an aside, that your prowess in the sports world can be so extreme that you almost can challenge anybody to a sports trivia contest.
Well, I've done pretty well in that category. Not perfect either, but I like to think I've done pretty well. So everybody likes to have me on their bar trivia team for the sports categories.
Yeah, that'd be a great sports center program. You hosting something like that? I think that'd be pretty a lot of fun.
Yeah, they did Sports Jeopardy for a while there with Dan Patrick, and that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I like Stump Jim. I think that would be.
There you go. Well, I'll suggest it next time I'm in Bristol.
Please do that. Okay. Hey, it's a pleasure speaking to you. Today is Babe Ruth Day. What can people do to celebrate and to go along these lines here?
Talk to a kid about baseball today. Tell a kid you know about baseball. He can't see it live, or she can't see it live, but they can know how cool a game it is, how much a part of it how much it is a part of the American fabric. Talk to them a little about Babe Ruth. Show them this book. Feel free to pick it up at independent bookstores or anywhere books are still sold these days.
Yeah.
Have them bring it right to your house. But I think talking about baseball, check out some clips online of Babe too. It's really fascinating to watch him. There's been an enormous upsurge of video and some found video. In fact, not that long ago, somebody found footage of the 1932 World Series when he allegedly called his shot. So check out the video. Make your own decision. Did he call his shot? It's up to you.
It's Babe Ruth, the life story of baseball's greatest player. He's James Buckley Jr. Check out his other books as well. You have plenty of choices to make there. And again, how can we follow you? Do you have a website?
I think everyone should just go to showmehistory.com. Show Me History is is a series that Babe Ruth is a part of, and we're really proud of all the books in the series. And for people looking for visual storytelling, graphic nonfiction stories of people, everyone from Alexander Hamilton and Abraham Lincoln to Harriet Tubman and many other great famous Americans, and should check it out. Showmehistory.com.
Good. That's how you learn history.
There you go.
There you have it. Jim, pleasure speaking to you. Good time, and happy Babe Ruth Day to you.
Same, very much to you, and I hope everyone out there stays safe, and we'll have baseball back real soon.
Thank you very much. Well, that's it for today. But guess what? I've got some news for you. I'm going to be back again tomorrow. I do this every single weekday with a brand new show every weekday. How do I do it? Or why do I do it? Which one? Which one? This is how I make my meager living at this point, so that's why. I'll be back, and please, please come back tomorrow. I'm not asking you. I'm on my knees. Actually, I'm not, but you can't see me, so I'm saying that I'm on my knees, but I wouldn't do that. So, come back again tomorrow, brand new show, will you? In the meantime, you take care of yourself, huh? I wish you peace. All right, big finish. Everybody sing along.